Welcome back. We continued our discussions this morning. We've been focusing on the budget, even before the budget present announcement was made. We've been discussing things all related to the budget, the financing. I'm going to have another one of those discussions. Hot on the agenda across the nation, the issue of crime, and of course, funding for crime fighting is going to feature prominently next Monday. All eyes are going to be on our finance minister. Joining us this morning, former police commissioner, political leader of the NTA, Gary Griffith. Good morning to you. Nice to have you with us here this morning.
Hi, good morning. Always my pleasure.
There's a normally when we have the discussion of crime, we are always told about the hurdles in crime fighting. And one of those hurdles seems to revolve around funding and about whether or not we have the resources that we need to treat with the problem that confronts us. Now, as a former police commissioner, as a former minister of national security, as an advisor to the National Security Council, you'd be well aware of the nuances that exist, the challenges that exist, and whether or not we've been getting the results for the money that we've been spending, whether the money we've been spending is anywhere close to what we need. I remember Faris Al-Rawi for a local government election or general election in Chaguanas, speaking about the amount of money that national security has received, I think it was a decade or 15 years or how many ever years. And it's quite an amount. It's a large amount. We're talking billions of dollars. And the average individual will say, well, we spend so much money on crime, crime's so bad. What's going on? Let's hear from you, your experience when it comes to funding crime fighting. How have we been doing?
Well, the first thing that I need to explain is that the vast majority of funding for national security is really salaries. So when you have 7,000 police officers, you have 5,000 members of the defense force, and then you have a couple thousand in the customs, immigration, fire services, prisons. When you pay salaries, that amount comes up. So when you say you have a budget for national security of 4 billion, 5 billion, whatever, the majority is basically salaries. So before you even kick off as the things that can be done to improve national security, you start off now with a budget, with expenditure just to pay salaries. And that's why sometimes in many countries in the world, you will see that they have actually been reducing their expenditure by reducing the manpower strength in their armies and their military. And you see it worldwide, and they have external issues. Here in Trinidad and Tobago, what we did, thanks to Eddie Dillon, he increased the military, the strength, to where it is now, to over 5,000 odd. And this is not in any way to not to justify the importance of the Trinidad and Tobago Defense Force, but it's not being utilized in the proper manner that it should. We just can't wait every 30 years for an attempted coup to show the value of the men and women out there who have so much capability to do so much to support the police. So that is one aspect. The other, unfortunately, is that when politicians are involved in national security, what they do is just it'll be a regurgitation of what happened in the past. So the present administration, because of them not having any knowledge in national security, they will just go back to see what was there before and just have the photocopy, cut and paste, and put exactly what was there from last year. So you're not going to see a difference. And sometimes if you have the hierarchy in the police service who cannot think out of the box, they are not going to come up with any new tools, policies, systems. And that's what I had to do as a commissioner of police. I utilized the experts in technology, in administration, in human resource, and in operations, and looking to find different avenues and mechanisms and tools and technologies to improve national security. And how was I able to do that? The best way to balance a budget, if it is you can't increase your income, is to reduce your expenditure whilst not affecting productivity. So, for example, I looked at the budget that I had previously. We were spending over $100 million extra annually in overtime, where about 100-odd police officers claimed they were working 24 hours a day by senior officers. I was able to cut that by $100 million. Then we also saw the corruption of course with police vehicles, where certain vehicles would be refueled 4 or 5 times a day. So you know, so that's why we had to put certain cards. So if you reduce the corruption, you reduce wastage, you reduce that expenditure, you can now utilize those funds to get so many things that our would be required. The And this is not a PNM thing, because I can tell you that when you remember, we will recall Patrick Manning's era when he was pumping out billions extra other than salaries for OPVs, for blimps, for the special anti-crime unit, for the helicopters. So that PNM administration saw the value of pumping funds to increase the performance of national security. In the last 8 years, we have not heard one new policy, one new tool, and there's so much that could be done from drones, the technology that is required. And unfortunately, what we are not going to see anything of value to say, look, this is something that's an eye-opener that can assist us in improving national security.
You know, we are here to discuss the funding and the budgetary allocations and how that impacts on the ability to get the job done. But there's a question that I wanted to ask, and it was brought up in the greater scheme of things by our Minister of National Security in Parliament some time ago. And it's a question people want answered, because they've been calling on this very program for greater use of the army, for the army to be brought out, for the strength of the army to be shown and criminals to fear them and all that kind of thing. The last pronouncements by Fitzgerald Hines was that we had 1,000 and something gang members, known gang members. And the obvious question people ask is, well, if we know who they are and we know all this about them, what they do, what they eat last night and where they sleep and all that kind of thing, we know everything about them, why can't we bring them to justice? And sometimes you hear, well, you may have all the information, you don't have no evidence. And we hear that all the time. But just a segue, but can we not fix that? Because if we fix the crime problem, we are told the majority of our crime is associated with gang activity. So it's a trickle-down domino effect. You deal with the gangs, you're supposed to deal with the crime levels in the country, which means you'll have less need for spending as much money as we're spending on all of these kinds of things. Why have we not been able to bring gangs to justice?
Well, the reason being is that if you recall, the last time we had less than 100 murders would have been under the UNC administration with Basdeo Pandey. From 2004, 2005, that is when it is our government decided that the best way to deal with this situation is to refer to them as community leaders, give them massive state contracts, and there we fed the animal. There's a saying that if you play with filthy animals, you will get fleas, and that never stopped. So for the last 8 years, especially, what we have done is continue to give gang members state contracts to a massive extent. You're giving them a $5 million state contract to build a box that really costs $500,000. And because of the ignorance of politicians, they don't realize that these funds, this extra profit given to these gangs, it is not used to help the community. It is used to purchase more sophisticated illegal firearms, hire more gang members, purchase more drugs to sell it on the street, and actually put hits on other gang members to get their state contracts. So this government has done an excellent job in trying to increase the problem with gang-related activity, because they still continue. As I was the commissioner of police, we saw all the intelligence of the gang members, how they were linked with certain companies and how the companies were getting massive state contracts. And they still do. I forwarded this. They refused to listen. We could recall even an inauguration when one of the major gang leaders or community leaders was actually there being invited at President's house. That is how closely linked these gang members are with the government. And that is why it was actually no surprise when there became friction between myself and this government, because what I was doing was doing exactly what you said, going after the gangs, pegging them back, putting systems in place such as the Special Operation Response Team are trying to acquire the type of equipment and technology to peg them back, make life difficult for them. All of that has shut down. So that's why now they are coming out now like vultures, and they are not just attacking fellow gang members. Now it has changed through home invasions, kidnapping, returning, and all of that. They are now going after the law-abiding citizens because they see them as the soft targets. So this has been, the government must be thanked tremendously for going out of their way to foster and increase the problem with gang-related activity. As it pertains to the military, you're quite correct. That's what I mentioned previously. We have increased the military strength, whereas in other countries that have an external threat, they decrease their strength because this costs tens of billions of dollars per annum in many countries. So what we have now is, again, as I said, 5,000 odd. When we had the during COVID, there were 150 men coming down Frederick Street with weapons and so forth to destroy Port of Spain. I had the operation center and I had to do it by myself. The Minister of National Security, based on his ignorance, refused to get the release of the Defense Force. The Defense Force claimed, well, they will be on standby at Camp Ogden. What more would you need to have the use of the Defense Force than that eventful day? This was in 2020, I think, where 150 men were coming down Frederick Street with all types of weapons and Molotov cocktails to destroy Port of Spain. And I had to use the police on their own to be able to divert them, get them back down onto Duke Street without a shot being fired, thankfully. And the Defense Force, they were not used even for that. So if you're not used for that, what are you going to use them for? So, and again, unfortunately, this government does not understand how it works. When I was Minister of National Security, there was a spike in shootings in Lavantil. And I sent in the Defense Force and fighting. It was 123 days. There was one homicide in Lavantil, one. And that was domestic violence. So it shows how the Defense Force working with the police can very well work. There can also be a perception, a concept that instead of having a 5,000 strong Defense Force, you cut it by probably one third, turn them into a National Guard, have them properly trained and precepted so they can work with the police and have that degree of authority. Then we also have, I don't know if you're aware, we have an air guard with about 500 persons at Piaco, and they do not even have a paper plane. So you have 500 members of the air guard doing virtually nothing, no fault of theirs. They want to serve. You have no helicopters, you have no aircraft. So for the last few years, you have 500 persons being paid monthly, and there's nothing for them to go out in the air with. That is where they should have been manning all of the camps in the meantime and having the army out there supporting the police. When you have numerical superiority, the criminal elements will be pegged back. That is a typical tactic and principle of war. But instead, they're all in the camp on standby while the nation is burning. It is not going to change because of the lack of foresight by this present administration.
It would have been interesting to see on the national landscape, had you had a consecutive term, second consecutive term, what the results would have been in crime fighting. It's undeniable that you had changed several things about how the public perceives the police service. And that public perception, I mean, it was a joke. Something happened, you call Gary, go reach. And that's how much people had faith in, well, this police commissioner was getting the job done. Well, it's water under the bridge now. Let's get back to the issue of funding for anti-crime initiatives and all of these things. If the majority of what we spend is recurrent expenditure, and we spend $5-6, sometimes close to $7 billion on national security, what kind of money would we need to get the job done effectively? Can you guesstimate a figure?
Yeah, not much. And I'll give an example. When we were in our darkest hour during COVID and we needed to increase operations, the Minister of Finance, based on his ignorance, decided to cut the police expenditure by $300 million. So the national security and health would have been the two ministries that the funds should be injected more than anything else during that COVID period. This excuse for a Minister of Finance cut the police expenditure by $300 million, whether it is based on vindictiveness or just stupidity. And this way it is, we needed more patrols, more police officers. And I had to find, you have to be innovative. And that is what leadership is about. So, okay, you cut it. And still the country will remember, they never saw such high visibility in the history of policing in Trinidad and Tobago. Because I put systems to make sure we were monitoring the fuel of the vehicles. Because of, as I mentioned, sometimes before me, certain vehicles were being refilled 4 and 5 times. So you knew exactly what was going on. So I put systems that saved us tens upon tens of millions of dollars in that type of corruption and being removed. Then you actually had the vehicles being repaired. The Minister of Finance insisted that it goes back to Vemcourt. Vemcourt, the price is almost 2 or 3 times more than giving it to private garages. So those are the type of things you have to find a way to minimize your expenditure. We know we love to build massive police stations. So, for example, in Tobago, they built 2 stations that could hold over 250-odd police officers. That's more than most of all the police officers in Tobago. But that's what you do. You build massive stations to cut the ribbon to impress people. The Carnage police station, for example, that could hold probably about 40 police officers, but no more than 3 will be sleeping overnight. And then when you do that now, it's a massive expenditure with the air condition, with the electricity, with IT and so forth. It's a lot of wastage in funds in national security. And when I was Minister of National Security, I was trying to deal with that. You reduce that expenditure, you can now utilize the funds to acquire the simple but effective things that can assist in reducing crime. And that is, and again, so things such as drones, you don't need an OPV to guard between Trinidad and Venezuelan waters. A drone can go 3,000 feet in the air, lock onto vessels, turn night into day, lock onto the license plates of vehicles, and you can have covert and overt operations. The type of technology we had, such as the police app, it was the most successful app. Those things, the cost was virtually non-existent. But what we were getting is tens of thousands of citizens giving information to the police, no fear of reprisal, and it was allowing the police now to use that to deal with what is known as predictive policing by preventing a crime from taking place. And then obviously we had things such as GPS tracking on police vehicles to make the vehicles wouldn't be joyriding, abusing the authority above the speed limit, not patrolling where they're supposed to patrol, because as I said, we were looking at their area of responsibility. All of these things have been shut down and dismantled. And because of that, now you're not seeing the high visibility, you're not getting the rapid response, you're not getting the deterrence. And that is why the vultures, they've been coming back out of their holes, taking control of the country. So it's not to say that there's a great degree of expense that's required. What you need is out-of-the-box thinking. You need to minimize and reduce the wastage that we usually have in national security. You need a commissioner of police who is going to micromanage that, because since I left, that overtime has now gone back up to 100 million plus, because there was, as I said, there was a little mafia in there who wanted this type of corruption, and I was preventing it. So even if I am blackmailing persons for firearms in police stations, holding them to ransom and extortion, all of those things have now returned thanks to this government. So as I said, it's just a couple hundred millions, but that would play such a big part towards giving the police the resources, the tools, the training, the technology to assist them in fighting crime.
Yeah, we need to take a couple messages to take us up to news. We continue our discussion with former police commissioner, NTA political leader Gary Griffith after the 8 o'clock news. I'll be taking some of your calls as well. We're discussing here this morning policing, national security funding, how it impacts on getting the job done.
This is the Morning Rumble with Satish Mahabir.
Three and a half minutes after eight, the final hour of our show here this morning. With us for some time still, we do have former police commissioner, NTA political leader Gary Griffith. We're discussing the budget and funding and how it impacts on crime fighting and those initiatives. Feel free to call us on 627-3223, 625-2257. Send your messages to 306-1065. As we wait for some calls, the budget presentation is next week. It's on Monday, actually. And the budget would have been prepared. It's finished. I don't think there's anything that could impact on what is to be presented on Monday already. What are some of the things you'd like to see in the budget pertaining to crime fighting?
Well, definitely to reignite the things that we implemented under the People's Partnership Government up until the end of 2015, that played a tremendous part into ensuring that that year was the highest reduction in serious crime in 30 years. And this is not any massive degree of expense. We're speaking about things such as the Community Comfort Patrol, the then Rapid Response Unit, which I reignited into the Emergency Response Patrol, the National Operations Center, which was something that was recommended strongly by the Commission of Inquiry into the attempted coup to ensure that there will not be a repeat of 1990, but also to ensure that our units can be operational to maximum efficiency in any natural or man-made disaster. The reigniting of the Marine unit that has been shut down. You need an elite, well-trained unit, such as what happened with the Special Operation Response Team. And the technology that the Special Operation Response Team had, which I can't speak about, but the type of technology put an end to kidnapping. It put an end to home invasion. When it is you heard about this thing a few moments later, it was not that I was Mandrake the magician. It was because we had the technology, the tools, the training, and the will to be able to pinpoint, target, and intercept criminals before the crime took place. And if they did commit the crime, because of the technology we had from social media monitoring to specific technology that I can't speak about, to even the online reporting, the app reporting, all of these things that have been shut down and dismantled based on pettiness, it has caused kidnapping to return. Never before we were in a situation where persons were being kidnapped and we were actually breaking into the doors, intercepting the vehicles whilst the kidnapped victims were in the trunks of the car or in a room, and we were arresting the kidnappers. That has now stopped. So the kidnapping has now returned because of certain things that have been shut down. And again, if it is we put those things in place, it will play a big part towards the criminal elements backing off. You have to quickly, let me quickly add, everything is always based on dollars and cents. But sometimes because of politics, we play games. The OPVs that the government, this government, still speaking about 15 years later. I asked the country again, type BAE/corruption. 17 countries sued this company for paying kickback to government officials. People in the PNM supporters still mandate, insist that we should have purchased the OPV. We were going to pay $800 million for each OPV. That is $2.4 billion. As a security advisor, I got offers from Colombia, Israel, and Korea for $400 million each, which would have been $800 million. So we were actually going to pay, $1.2 billion. We were paying $1.2 billion in excess had we gone ahead with that contract. And that is the type of waste we do not want. Same as similar with the helicopters. The helicopters would have been 83 million TT. We ended up paying for four helicopters over $1.4 billion. And then we had to pay an annual maintenance, which the prime minister has now shut down. And that is the type of wastage we don't want. When you do that, the things that the law enforcement authorities really require, they cannot get it. Because sometimes politicians make decisions. And again, we could record if anyone goes to Anchorage, you will see six vessels just in the water for the last 15 years, because some smart man in the PNM government in that period went to Australia, got hostile vessels, and those vessels were not compatible to our waters. Hundreds of millions wasted. If we stop wasting money based on politicians making decisions and let the technical persons, let the experts in law enforcement make the recommendation, we will be able to have proper value for our dollar in our budget for national security.
Yeah, you raised some of what took place while you were a part of the People's Partnership and some of the initiatives. Then, speaking about partnership, we're talking about crime talks, and your name featured prominently in a press conference as to whether or not you'll be a part of these discussions. I don't know what transpired since then. The opposition leader has pushed these talks till after the budget activities are over. But it'd be remiss of me not to ask, what's going on? Is Gary Griffith going to be a part of the UNC's team? When you meet with the Prime Minister, are you going to be giving suggestions? What's going on?
Well, I wish to bring the bad news. I mean, the opposition leader, the political leader of the UNC and myself, we have been communicating on a regular basis, making sure we package exactly what is required, similar to what I did as a security advisor, similar to what I did as the Minister of National Security. And that type of dialogue, again, with me liaising with the experts, I had 19 experts as the Commissioner of Police, dealing with administration, with human resource, with technology, with operations, equipment required. So we know exactly what can be done to transform our law enforcement, transform national security. Does this government have the foresight, the maturity, the political will to do it? I don't think so. So it's like we can actually give them a template how to build a rocket ship, but they're not going to know how to put the parts together. So that is going to be the unfortunate thing. And what I am almost sure is that the Prime Minister is going to politicize this. He's going to trivialize. He has already started with his childish outbursts pertaining to the number of pages. I don't know if he wanted it to be drawn in photos, in pictures for him, but it shows the political immaturity of the man. So we can provide a template of some of the best things available. And those are the things, the data is there. Every time the PNM has been in government, 91 to 95, 2001 to 2010, 2015 to 2023, crime has gone up, except for the last year when I was Commissioner of Police. Every year, other than that, from 95 to 2001, from 2010 to 2015, crime goes down, which is when PNM is not in government. They need to understand and face reality. There's a reason for that. Affiliating yourselves with gangs, trying to block persons. I mean, even me as Commissioner of Police, there were several persons, businesses and organizations that we were doing heavy investigations on that were closely affiliated to government officials. And that's why they wanted me out. And when it is you do that, the criminals are going to succeed, and that is why crime goes up under the PNM. Are they going to be mature to understand, look, you don't know what to do. We are showing it to you. We are giving you an idiot's guide. These are the things that are required. And it's basically over 100 different things. So it's not a crime plan. It's putting proper policies in place, put in systems to measure performance, make people accountable. And by doing that, it is going to play a part to lift the standard of our law enforcement. It is going to peg back criminal elements. It will minimize the product of opportunity. It will decrease the deterrent. It will improve the deterrent. Do they have the capability and knowledge to do so? I don't think so, because we have seen that every single thing they do is to politicize national security.
Let's take a couple of calls. 627-322-3625-2257. Try us back. Both lines were ringing just a short while ago. Our special guest at this point in time, ladies and gentlemen, former police commissioner and, of course, political leader of the NTA, Gary Griffith. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish, and good morning, Mr. Griffith.
Morning,
Mr. Griffith, during the time that the UNC was in office, 12 boats were purchased. Do you know the National Security Council chairman, which the prime minister said, that none of those boats could have been working between Toko and Mayaro? None could work. And do you know that when those boats were posted from Austal, a team from the Coast Guard led by the commander of the Coast Guard, and I think it would have been Mr. Pictchard or whatever his name was, spent time in Australia, the builders, ensuring that they get exactly what they wanted? Why do you make statements about it just put this on a shelf? Like, if you know, like the government is run by imbeciles. Now, listen, I would only say this to you, Mr. Griffin. You could talk everything you want to talk about national security, but if the men who are responsible for national security, you cannot trust them, they don't have the integrity, nothing will work. Nothing will work. Because by the time you try to do one thing, they inform their friend and that's it. Our corrupted services, which is in the customs, the defense force, the police, are responsible for the mire that we are in. And until we know who they are, fish from fowl, we will get absolutely nowhere with all your grandiose ideas. And I still want to know, the report in the newspaper that 57.2 million bullets was requested under your charge as commissioner of police, where do those bullets go? Those bullets are in Trinidad. What we do with 57.2 million bullets?
You probably went to school in August. Do you know, you heard the word requested. It was never approved. Go and educate yourself and understand the meaning of the word requested.
Thank you so
much. That's why your PNM so blinded with stupidity. You heard the word requested. People could request a billion, right? Understand the meaning. You obviously went to school in August, so that's one, right? So it was requested. It was never issued. 90% of the ammunition that was issued goes to the police service and the defense force. So educate yourself and stop sounding like an illiterate. Let me continue. The comment that you made about the diamond vessels. The diamond vessels cost $1.2 billion less than the OPVs. And the diamond vessels were all fully operational. The diamond vessels are used in 17 other countries. They were fully equipped. They could have done everything the OPP could have done, and they were working. But if after 4 years, you don't maintain it, you don't provide the resources, you don't provide the manpower, the vessels will obviously start breaking down. That's because of the petty politics of the PNM that blindly support. And let me add also, the Austal vessels that I spoke about was in 2007, when Patrick Manning and others went to Australia, went to Austal in Perth, saw the vessels and said, I like these vessels, I want them. The reason I could say that is I was there, you were not there. And the vessels, I asked all of you all to go to Anchorage, you will see the 6 vessels. After 2 months, the vessels could not have been used because there was no support element from the Coast Guard. When they saw it, they could not believe that the PNM could be so incompetent, so stupid to purchase vessels without the input of the Coast Guard. Because I was the Minister of National Security after, and the vessels are still there if you don't believe me. What they did is because of pettiness and probably because of kickback, they refused to use the diamond vessels to then go to Australia to acquire the same type of vessels that could do exactly what the 6 diamond vessels could have done. So understand the fact that you have now exposed what is how blinded with politics. You want to lie to mislead the country.
You know, one of the things I could never understand with those vessels that we bought and never used is the position that those vessels could navigate the waters in Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, I've seen the vessels. I've been to the Coast Guard camp and I saw the vessels. I can't understand the life of me. What about these vessels can't navigate the waters between Trinidad and Tobago and Venezuela and wherever else? Because you have some little 28-foot pirogue that navigating the waters, these big, big vessels, you're trying to convince me somehow or the other the waves are too big for them or something. I never could have understood it.
Definitely not the diamond vessels. As I said, the diamond vessels are used by 17 other countries, and the cost for those six diamond vessels plus two utility vessels plus interceptors, that, as I said, costs 1.2 billion less than the OPVs. And that is what bothers people, because we were able to look at the cost and make sure we could get the right items. And out of pettiness, they didn't use the vessels. The vessels were working. They were fully functional. But if after 4 or 5 years you don't want to use it, or you're so ignorant to understand that you need to continue to pump the manpower strength of the Coast Guard to make sure that manpower strength must equate with asset acquisition. Because and that's what happened with the OPVs as well. One OPV you needed about 80 men, sailors. So you need a rotation, which is 160, and then you need another 80 for leave, training, retirement. So you needed 240 persons trained to make sure one OPV is fully functional. Multiplied by three OPVs was 720. We sent 80 alone out to train. So had we even acquired those three OPVs, up to this day, they still don't have the strength, the manpower strength to man the six diamond vessels. Imagine what would have happened with the three OPVs. So that is what happened because of the incompetence of this government in not understanding that you had to lift and double the training requirements for Coast Guard to have the recruit intake increase, which is what I did as the Minister of National Security, because with the police service, you have batches of 100 every 6 months. So that's 200 a year going to the police service, but you lose 200 police officers based on retirement, sick leave or whatever annually. So we'll always be 1,400 below our established strength. When we were in the People's Partnership Government, we thought out of the box, we moved the training from the police academy to CDA. And instead of batches of 100, we moved to batches of 300. And it was the closest we ever had to reaching the established strength. That is the type of out-of-the-box thinking you need. Not to have persons stupid enough to say, well, 57 top million requested for ammunition, where did it go? It was requested, you joker. The majority of the ammunition is given to the Defense Force and the police, which, by the way, you would have seen that a lot of the gang, the criminal elements have acquired that. That is from law enforcement agencies in some way not being able to keep account for it. Not those persons, the citizens who have FULs.
Somebody asked an interesting question via text message here, because we've been hearing a lot about the diamond vessels as opposed to the Cape class cutter vessels that we bought after and all these things. Somebody asking about the persons who are on the team that approved the diamond vessels. If you could tell us who those persons were.
Yeah, it was members, and that is the difference. You had members of the Defense Force. We had some of the top experts involved. I wouldn't call their names, but top architects and persons involved in naval training. And similar, so we had a team of very well trained individuals, from Admiral Richard Kelshall, Badri Maraj, we had Courtney Lange, and we had senior members of the Coast Guard. So they were fully aware, unlike what happened in 2007 when politicians went there, I think it was during Shogam or summit, and they saw the vessels, they brought it to Trinidad, and the vessels were not compatible for our waters, which again I want to stress. So the PNM till they're dead, I know the truth is, anyone goes to Anchorage, go outside Hartscott, six vessels just floating out there for 15 years cannot be used because they're not compatible for our waters. Those were vessels for the lake. When I went to Perth, I asked Austal, why did you purchase it? They said, sir, these were politicians. They said, I like how these look. They wanted, we gave it to them. You know, if you have a bubbly, you beat it. And Trinidad and Tobago taxpayers, we got beaten.
Taking the conversation back to funding, because that's where we began. And the budget is upon us. When you have all of these very, very expensive purchases, and you the majority of what you spend otherwise is on your recurrent expenditure, are these purchases wise? Are they necessary? Are they effective, or is it just is for political value to boast that, well, you buy this, you buy it, but at the end of the day, you're not necessarily buying something that's practical. Apart from practical, that's effective.
You're correct. And that is what happened again under the Manning administration. As much as he was thinking out of the box and he was trying to find things that required, such as the special anti-crime unit SWAT, the OPVs, the blimps, and the helicopters, it's a bad habit we have, where it is we love to purchase things, cut a ribbon, and then we don't have the capability to maintain it. So when we acquired these four helicopters. As I said, the cost was really 83 million TT, but we ended up paying over 405 million for one based on what you call maintenance. And then after four, and then I, so as the National Security Advisor, said, we're getting set up. We do not need these type of helicopters. And so we spend this massive amount of hundreds of millions of dollars for these helicopters. And then after the warranty and the maintenance period ended, that is when Kidrowi realized, wait a minute, that is what it costs for you. And then he realized we have to spend hundreds of millions of dollars, over $1 million monthly for each of the four helicopters to be maintained. And that's why he shut it down. So we spent billions of dollars in helicopters that are no longer accessible. And that is always the problem here. We look for things that are fancy and we don't understand how what is it going to cost to maintain it. And it's the same thing with the OPVs, as I mentioned. You want to purchase OPVs or whatever, but you don't have the manpower strength to equate with asset acquisition. And that is where it is. Politicians don't understand national security. They make decisions. They don't do proper cost-benefit analysis. And sometimes, me as a commissioner of police, I had to balance my budget, even though the minister cut it by 300 million. When it says we, for example, and it has to do so much with our budget, is not just about what the government gives the units. When I realized what was required through my wife, Nicole Diagrafit, we fought something was formed called I Support Our Service. This is done worldwide, and it allowed the business community to support the police service in assisting just repairing a vehicle, fixing a flat tire, seeing about an air conditioner in the building. By doing that, it built trust and working relationship with the business sector and the police. We were able to repair hundreds of vehicles because the state was unable to give us funds, sometimes for the first 6 months of every fiscal year, even though the funds have been approved in the budget. I would not get a cent. Imagine trying to run a business with 7,000 employees, 112 buildings, 1,700 vehicles without a cent. And people are coming down on you, ready to shut you down for every single thing. That is what you need the leadership required to think out of the box. So the I Support Our Service played a very big part. So it's not, when you look at budget, we just think of budget about what the government is going to give to the ministries. The leadership in those different units must also find ways to balance your own budget.
Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hello and good morning, gentlemen. So I was saying you don't need to respond to the public too much with these fellows and them. What it is, you sit in the position, and this is where people are supposed to understand that experience is greater than, you know, the words that people are looking for. That you sit in the position, you see, and you know exactly what is taking place. And I think you stay at that same level because you only need to fight on the point, you want the meaningful change. And if you make the recommendation, even the petty politics that they don't want here in the key modern, the recommendation is there. You don't have to be there, you understand? But you want the betterment of the country. The government budget, what is the government budget for the army itself, apart from the police, but that they spend on the army base itself? Because I know the waste is a lot. Have a good day.
Yeah, well, but as it pertains to the Defence Force, the budget allocation, again, similar to the Trinidad Tobago Police Service, the majority of the cost will be salaries, because you're speaking about 4,000 or 5,000 persons, and you have to multiply that by roughly $8,000 to $12,000 a month, and then after. So that becomes the main aspect. And then obviously the maintenance, seeing about meals, the vehicles, transportation, the army camps and so forth. That has been the main element. Things that I think that a government should do is put heavy emphasis on training. That has not been done. It's always been sidelined. In fact, when I was trained in the Defence Force and I went to the Royal Military Academy, Sandhurst, the cost for the taxpayers for me going there, for my training there to be a military officer as a lieutenant, that was more than the budget allocation given for the whole Trinidad and Tobago Police Service for training. It shows how the lack of knowledge and understanding how important it is for training in the Trinidad and Tobago Police Service. The Defence Force understands it, so they have a massive cut in training, not the police service. I had to fight and find ways, cut and paste, to ensure that we can have some of our officers go out to do special forces, special training in VIP protection, in technology, in trying to get customer service training to get police officers to train and understand the importance of how they interact with the public, which is what played a big part of 2018. 14% public trust and confidence was in the police. When I left, it moved to 55% from being the least trusted to being the most trusted. And that has to do with training. So training plays a big part in the budget allocation, but unfortunately, year after year, we have seen that that funding for training for the police service has been very small.
Yeah, we're almost out of time for our interview here. From what you've said to us, you don't expect any major developments when it comes to the budget, when it comes to funding. But you've been saying something over and over again, which is the management of the funds that are allocated. And that's important to getting the job done. Many times when we have discussions on matters like these, we do not focus enough on the management. And it's across every ministry, because every ministry is not going to get the amount of money that they requested, and they're going to have to make do with the reduced allocation that they're going to get, which we all know happens. And you're right. Management does play a great role, because I've asked the question time and time again, how is it that under one administration you can get results on things like the delivery of water? And when there is a change in administration, all hell breaks loose and people can't get water and people complaining, and it just seems as though you have the same staff, you have the same facilities, you have everything else, you're just not getting the job done. And you've highlighted it numerous occasions in our discussion this morning that management is something we need to pay closer attention to. That's where we're going to leave our interview here. I'm sure that after the budget presentation on Monday, we'll have some issues to discuss, and we will have you back on the program again after. Thank you so much for being with us here this morning.
My pleasure.
And that, of course, ladies and gentlemen, NTA political leader, former police commissioner Gary Griffith. Covered a number of issues, not just the funding and how that impacts on crime fighting, some of the purchases we've made and how, for want of a better term, that money was squandered. A couple messages, we'll be right back. Stay with us.